Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text is the epistle from Hebrews chapter 5, which was just read and just sung in our hymn. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, James and John came to Jesus with an audacious request. Give us the places of honor in your kingdom. One to sit at your right hand and one to sit at your left. And to their credit, at least they gave the central place to Jesus. And to their credit, they took their Lord at his word. Ask me anything. And they did. But they overestimated themselves. They were, in fact, even early in their apostolic career, barely started at things, and in humility later, they would say much different things. But more importantly, they showed how little they understood what greatness was. And so Jesus teaches them. The world's greatness might look like that, like power and authority and position, but greatness is not found in God's kingdom in such ways. Greatness is found in service. And so Jesus says in Mark 10, 43 through 45, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that is greatness. Thinking nothing of yourself and giving yourself on behalf of others. Giving all in service of our God in response to who he is. So who is the greatest? Only the one who's the slave of all. James and John weren't capable of that, living but one lifetime. Having needs of their own that needed to be filled, they were not capable of supreme greatness, and neither are you or me. Only the one who could give his life as a ransom for the sin of the world, for all people of all times, could be the greatest. Only Jesus truly lives up to that measure. But his greatness is surprising to those who look upon him in human terms. Greatness that we see filling our epistle reading when we see the priesthood of Jesus. For Jesus is the greatest high priest, the one with the name above all other names, the one who truly sits upon the throne and deserves the accolades of all creation. This Jesus is the greatest, and this Jesus is our servant. The epistle to the Hebrews is concerned with many important topics, but one of its most central themes is the priesthood of Jesus. And the reason is that the author is helping his readers, Hebrews that they are, to understand the work of Jesus. How does God bring about salvation, and how does that fit in with the revelation of God? Since this is not a new religion, but the completion of the true religion that had been with humanity since the garden, the fulfillment of Judaism. But when they heard the teachings of Jesus and of the apostles, many Jews were confused, and understandably so. Jesus, they heard, as we do, is the sacrifice for sins. But who offered the sacrifice? Certainly not the unbelieving soldiers, nor was it the Levites in the temple who had condemned him to death but had nothing to do with the actual hands-on, besides which it happened not in the place of sacrifice, nor was he the kind of sacrifice they were allowed to offer. Well, we know the answer to that. Jesus sacrificed himself. Jesus is our priest. He has a priestly office, we might have learned in confirmation class. But now the Jews really stumbled. Well, how can he then be the Messiah? For the Messiah is descended from the tribe of Judah, but every Jew knew that a righteous priest had to come from the line of Levi. And how can a person be descended from both? And Hebrews very elegantly, drawing on the teaching of the entire Old Testament, so thoroughly biblical, provides an answer. There were priests who existed before the time of Levi. And if that's the case, you could hardly expect someone who lived before Levi to be descended from him, could you? Of course not. But if God authorized their priesthood, a priest they were. The rules narrowed with the coming of Levi and the giving of the covenant. But still there were priests before. One example that Hebrews pulls out, the example, is Melchizedek, a priest who served Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. He was the greatest example of priesthood before Levi, one who received tithes from Abraham, who interceded for him on behalf or to God Most High, and who brought out bread and wine to Abraham. Melchizedek was a legitimate priest appointed by God. And Jesus, being the eternal Son of God, existing before all ages, creating all things, giving life, in fact, to Levi, this Jesus existed before Levi. And he too could be a legitimate priest like Melchizedek. It was an important teaching for the Jews and an important one for us. Jesus is your priest and my priest. But what does that mean? Hebrews teaches us. Verse 1 of our epistle, every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. A priest is an intermediary, someone who goes between human beings and God, someone who offers sacrifice for sins on behalf of the sinner, and who brings absolution as authorized by God. And as we learn later in Hebrews and elsewhere in Scripture, to also offer intercessions and prayers for the people. And this is what Jesus does for us, but on a level greater than any other priest. For while they offered sacrifices that were repeated day after day after bloody day, he offers the great final sacrifice, once for all, for the sins of the world, the sacrifice of himself. He fulfills the priesthood. He fulfills the worship of the Old Testament. It was all pointing forward to him, and it was all fulfilled in him. Jesus does this and brings perfect salvation. And to do that, he needs to be part of the people that he represents, one from among the people of God, and he needs to be authorized by God. And Jesus fulfills both. Jesus is of the people. Every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men. And Jesus was chosen by God from among men. And he was man. He himself, though fully God, willingly took on a human nature. He was born and grew and suffered and died. He experienced trials and challenges and weakness. He knew what it was to be mortal and finite, just as all human beings do. He experienced normal human feelings, challenges, difficulties, but all without sin, in a way that none of us could do. Because of this, we know something greater. Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And therein lies a divine blessing. Since he is one of us, we know that he understands our experience. He's faced our entire human condition. He can sympathize with us. He does sympathize with us. Because Jesus knows. He knows what it is to live. He knows what it is to experience loss. He knows what it is to grieve. He grieves with us. And so Jesus sympathizes for us. Verse 2 of our epistle, he can deal gently with the ignorant and the wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. And likewise in verses 7 and 8, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. We need to remind ourselves of these things. For as difficult as it was for our children to believe that we all have experienced similar things as they do, it's far more difficult for us to remember that our Lord and God has experienced the same feelings, thoughts, emotions, temptations. But he has. He suffered what we do, and he completed all things according to the will of his Father. But there's more than this, as wondrous as that gift of the incarnation is. Not only is he from among his people, Jesus is authorized by God to this priesthood. Verse 4 says that no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. Priests had to be authorized and appointed by God himself. The call came from outside of them and from God. For no one could enter the priesthood based on a personality test, a career inventory, or a strengths finder. No high school counselor in the temple said, "I think you might be cut out for the priesthood," unless you had the ancestry to qualify you. Priests had to meet God's criteria, and not merely for the family in which they were born, but for other things as well. Issues of purity, bodily perfection. This is what it took to be a priest. It wasn't a desire or a feeling. The call came from God. And God chose Jesus to be the great, final high priest. And this was God's plan. Because the truth is, no ordinary human could fulfill what God was going to ask of this priest. The normal high priests before Jesus, they were as in much in need of atonement as the people they served were. In fact, on the day of atonement, the high priest would first sacrifice for himself and then for the people. With sacrifices offered, what happened the next day but another sacrifice, and another, and another, and another. They needed forgiveness because they were sinners. Hebrews writes about those priests. He's obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. But not so Jesus. Being holy and sinless, he needed no sacrifice. Being perfectly obedient to the will of God, in nature and in action, the wages of sin did not belong to him. So the sacrifice that he offered, the payment of death, was not on behalf of himself, but for us. His perfect sacrifice, his voluntary choosing to lay his life down, his suffering, his death, his agony, and his resurrection. All of it was for us. God authorized this. God called him to this priesthood. Jesus fulfilled it, and thanks be to God, we are forgiven in him. Because Jesus is the perfect priest and the perfect Savior. Verse 9 of our epistle says, being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. We need a little help in English on these. Being made perfect in Greek is the word for brought to completion or finished perfectly. Having brought this to its perfect finish, he is able to do these things. And in next week, Holy Week, we hear once again our Savior's cry, "It is finished, complete, perfect, paid in full, done," so that nothing else is needed. Jesus did this perfectly, and because of that, he became the source of eternal salvation. The plan of God that cannot be undone. There is nothing more to come, for nothing more is needed than the perfect gift of life we have in Jesus. There is no work that needs to be done to merit God's salvation or forgiveness, because the work is perfect and it is complete. There is no other name, as Acts 4:12 says, no other name given to men by which we must be saved. Salvation is found in no one else but Jesus. And we have Jesus. His gift is free. It's one that we can depend on. It's one that's distributed to us again and again, even in a few minutes at his table. For Jesus is the Savior of all, even of me, even of you. No one lies outside his priesthood. He is the greatest, for he has served all. He uses his greatness to save. And now Jesus, our great high priest, calls us from among men. Calls us with divine authorization to another priesthood. St. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2, verse 9, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may declare the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." This great high priest calls you to serve under him as a priest. All the baptized serve their Lord and this world as priests, never replacing the great high priest, but redeemed by him. Nor do these priests offer atoning sacrifices. Rather, the royal priests serve first by receiving the gifts of the high priest. Receiving the gifts that Jesus has earned. Verse 9 speaks of the obedience that is paid to Jesus, but in Greek it's talking of the obedience of faith. In other words, we obey him by hearing him, by listening to what he teaches to us about how we are saved, about the gift of God, about the grace of God. And then, only then, when we have received the grace of God and the blessing of God and the call of God, then we're empowered to serve. Redeemed by Jesus and called by God in the free gift of faith, God now calls his children to the priesthood, to serve other people, to offer intercessions for them, to point them to the great high priest, to offer their lives as living sacrifices to God. Not to offer ourselves in terms of merit, but to serve the world and point them to Jesus, the high priest. So come, follow Jesus, receive his free life and salvation. Come and serve in his name. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.